Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and robots. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow paranoid androids. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I really want to know if those arms were a prosthetic or if that was...
That's actually his arms.
Digitally added.
Actually his arms. Guy Inglis is also here. Hi, Guy.
I hope that they're a prosthetic because I want that. I want it.
Exactly.
I do. Yeah.
And if he was wearing gloves to hide the fact that it was like...
His hands were tight.
Like go all the way.
It's Jackie. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I had in my
head... They look really great.
I had in my head a time to discussing Nate's arms, and I think you guys beat it. It was low. It was low, and I think you guys still beat it.
Why wouldn't we, you know, jump on the best part?
That's the first thing right there.
I was thinking about it even before, because it's the little preview that's up.
Yes, it has him in the background.
At least where I watched it. Yeah, he's sitting there, and I'm like, ooh, he looks... Is he that big? Like, I couldn't tell because it was like the little one. And I'm like, hey, wow, he's really pumped up. But no, he's not that pumped up.
He got beefed. All right. Let's discuss. We're here to discuss Legends of Tomorrow Season 7, Episode 8, entitled, yes, Paranoid Android. Guy, are you on? I'm back on our recap duty here.
I am. I'm back to work.
All right. Back to work. Get to it.
That's a different podcast.
Okay. Oh, how boring these jokes are. Paranoid Android.
How pedestrian.
Yeah, really. Sorry,
you can never tell if I'm going to be nice who I'm going to be nice to.
It's really hard to tell, yeah.
We start with a recap from the perspective of the team we saw at the end of last week's episode, or last episode. And they say that they're the real Legends of Tomorrow, and we're told that our gang are just robots. Two of them die in their attempt to capture our legends, and then we get a really fun intro thing that's sort of reminiscent of like an 80s show.
Very A-Team.
Turns out Chernobyl is experiencing an anachronism. And so the fake legends are off to go try to fix it. And they suspect that our gang is behind it. We discover that the fake legends are, in fact, androids.
Surprise.
Yeah.
What?
I kind of we'll talk about it after. On the Chernobyl mission, they fight a bunch of Russians and capture the general. The anachronism appears to be due to a broadcast that altered citizens... alerted citizens that the reactor was melting down, so they've all start to flee. Robo Astra suggests putting out a second broadcast using fake news, saying that the warning was in error, so that people return to their homes and then get irradiated. Nice work. while they try to force the general in order to put out this message, Sarah accidentally gets shot. On the operating table, Robo Sarah starts to suspect that she's a robot as a giant robotic thing gets taken out of her. And then she discovers the chips for each person and takes them off to Robo Zare for analysis. And then they both start to suspect that Dr. Sharp is, which is what Ava's going by in this group, is messing with them and Gideon. Sarah gets a mission to kill Dr. Petrov, who escaped from Russia, and she's about to alter the course of history through her science powers. Sarah stopped from doing it when Zara discovers that it's they who are the androids. So she fakes killing her and takes research to keep it safe. Eventually, they figure out that Gideon created them and that Dr. Sharp is in on it. So Sarah captures Dr. Sharp and holds a knife to her throat, who admits that the rest of the team that they are all androids. And then things go poorly. And good Robo Sarah is captured and killed. And then bad Robo Sarah is dispatched to kill Petrov as originally planned. End of F. I highlighted a bunch of stuff because whatever. But that's the general thing of it.
At the end, there is a PSA Nate talking to kids about bullying, which made me laugh out loud. The part where they're like, John Cena.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
That was good.
You're sorry, guy. You were going to say you had.
I was just about to say that when the app started, I thought we would be tracking this team for a lot longer before we figured out who was who. In terms of, have we been watching androids this whole season?
Hmm.
Possibly, but no, they didn't even bother going down that route for like more than 30 seconds, kind of thing. Also, even just the way that they're interacting with each other is. It's clear to us that they're not...
They're not our team.
They're not our guys. Yeah.
Our team. Yeah, they're... Nate, in particular, seems...
Yes. Yes, they made...
Most of them, but...
Nate is a real chatterhead. there are some good bits with that, right? Where he's like, I don't know a lot, but red ain't good. That's a repeated line.
I hope that they keep those prosthetic limbs. Like, if they're not going to sell them to, well, maybe John can have one and I can have one, and we can be like, we can be Hans and Franz. Yeah, we can be Hans and Franz.
So that reminds me of a movie that I like, even though it's a problematic movie, Lady in the Water, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. There is a character in that who is like really like beefed up one of his arms. It's very odd. Played by, I want to say, Freddie Rodriguez. Anyways, it's that's what kind of, maybe they use the same prosthetic for that.
Mm-hmm. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I kind of hope that they keep them. And that rather than turning silver, Nate now just grows those, like, grows into the arms. Like, he just gets beefier, like, hawks out a little bit.
He doesn't need to turn silver this version.
He can't.
Exactly.
He's made of steel, right? That's the whole joke. Every time they hit him or, like, pat him on the shoulder, it makes, like, a ching sound.
Yeah.
Which is fun. A lot of good fun Foley in there. Yeah. And he punches his fists.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, this episode, it does have a little bit of, like a moral angle to it, but it also... A lot of it is just sort of the humorous, like, these characters who are so different from the characters that we know, right? They're all very bloodthirsty and violent and bent on revenge. And they kind of play it for laughs a lot of places, like the continual Spooner and Bayrod trying to avenge Astra and Zari, who are not dead. Yeah. And trying to, like, outdo each other and betting on, like, how Sarah's going to assassinate someone. There's I mean, a lot of it's played for laughs, but it does also have that moral center of, like, the Sarah realizing that she is an android and they are the bad guys, which is, I thought it was tense, effectively tense at the end, even though I felt very, like, confident that, you know, Zari was going to turn on them at some point. I also wondered, like, oh, maybe they team up with the real legends to take down Gideon or something.
Yeah.
But sadly, no.
And nothing really, you know, and all we get is an explanation of what's going on with this group, right? Nothing changes by the end. They started out being bad, and they realized that they were bad, but then they're still bad at the end.
Right. But we do know there's the possibility, right? Like, I mean, Sarah shows, at least in that form, there's the possibility of them being redeemed in some way, or at least made to realize the error of the race, although it may be an uphill climb at this point.
Right.
I mean, both her and Zari have that moment, right? Like, they both seem to agree that killing people is bad.
Right.
So
right.
It's, you know, totally possible that they could convince the rest. Although Nate does not seem to have the cognitive capacity for that. So
yes, right. I mean, he actively rejects it even when told, right, that, like, they're definitely the bad guys. And it is also interesting to see how they have to change parts of the dynamic in order to, like, accommodate, right? Like, Ava's Dr. Sharp is not in a relationship with Sarah here, right? So you have that aspect of, like, they don't ground each other in that way. You know, they don't have that dynamic, which is obviously a big part of the team. So it's recognizably not our team, even in just going past, like, the characters not looking like our characters. It is, you know, very much these people are not even, like, their dynamics with each other are not even the same.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, I suspect that's going to be the solve, right? Like, our team overcomes through the power of love for each other rather than... Like, because I don't know if you've noticed, that's pretty much what always happens.
Sure. It's kind of their move.
Yeah, kind of their power thing. That or a giant teddy bear, one or the other. Were you guys, so what was your take on this? First, but like the very first thing I thought is, we have way too many versions of these characters. There's
look, there's COVID. Like, they need to cut back on casting.
Yeah, really, yeah. No,
I know, but specifically when Zari appeared, I'm like, okay, what?
Yeah,
which version of Zari?
Which version of Zari?
Yeah, because she died and then she wasn't dead, and I'm like, okay, I'm dizzy. I'm just dizzy. I mean, she does a great job. Although I guess she's just playing regular Zari.
Is Robo Zari
the same as regular Zari?
She's playing slightly. They're all playing like an intense version of their character, right? Like,
yeah.
I felt like they were channeling a little bit of like hacker stereotypes, because she's got like a squeeze ball at one point, like that she's always holding.
Yeah.
And she's like typing with her other hand.
And she's tattooed all over the place.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Felt a little bit like a hacker's version of Zari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm dizzy. I'm just kind of dizzy. Like,
I don't have a lot to say about this episode.
I know. I don't have a lot to say, which is making
just,
it like
it's mostly just wacky. I think it's good. I enjoyed it for sure. But it's not, you know,
it's not going to move the needle a lot. It definitely
it's not super deep or anything.
Like my wife was watching the very beginning of this with me, and she doesn't really follow the show. But like when the credits came on, she just sort of looked at me. And she goes, "This show is so weird." And I'm like, "Yeah, it really is."
I absolutely love the the number of different credit sequences that they've had.
Yeah, yeah, and just overall how they're willing to do really weird things that don't actually matter, like a PSA about anti-bullying where bunch of kids hit Nate with a baseball bat.
That,
and like,
that seemed like they just had like another minute they had to fill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or just like, hey, as long as we've got him in those giant robot and those giant beefy arms, we should do something funny.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, I mean,
hey,
they also had the 80s framing up front, right? So
yeah. I feel like it's very much a show where it seems like everybody seems to be having a good time. Let's just keep pushing the envelope with what we can do and do increasingly weird things.
Yeah.
And we're just going to roll with it. So
I know. And I love that.
Yeah. I love that aspect about it as well. So I don't know. I guess you're right. There's not that much more to say about this episode. It doesn't have a lot of meat on the bones. 15 minute episode today, guys.
Like, you really, we'll spend an hour and a half on Hawkeye, but sorry Legends, you get like 15 minutes.
Well, that's the thing though, it feels a little bit like the Bends here, right? Like, at least we had Spider-Man in between, which is wacky too, but like I started watching this again, I'm like, oh yeah, this show is banana pants. Like, it is wacky. And coming off of Hawkeye, which pretty silly, of course, but like, you know,
parts of it, yeah,
but relatively.
It's got a more serious side, and it's part of a bigger. I mean, this show technically is in a universe, but it hardly ever comes up,
right? And the rest of that universe is increasingly less relevant, right? Like, it is, there is less of it, and it is not as tied together as it was sort of in its heyday, which was probably, I don't know,
and we can
like 3 or 4
about
years
some
ago.
News about that,
sure,
yeah, when we
can get there. Do you, I mean, sweep. I don't know, are there other things you want to talk about with this? Should we do a rating and then
to be perfectly honest to our readers, I feel like I'm forcing myself to say anything about this episode.
That's what I felt like too.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, guys, the show is as long as we need it to be. There's no mandate for how long show is.
I don't feel like I should start trying to delve deeper into the meaning of this.
Could you get into the psyche of really what it meant?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did get an extra, what, 20 minutes,
Let's
half
talk
an
about
hour
imposter
last
syndrome
week?
Syndrome for a while.
Yeah, good. That really is a back to work episode. did we make that joke before we? Who cares? Whatever. The readers are just—they are gonna unsubscribe.
There is an episode of Voyager like this, right? You know, there's two fake Voyager crews.
What?
Yeah, there's the one. Where? There's the group. There's the group that's impersonating them for personal gain.
Oh, man.
Is the title of that episode, I believe, is Live Fast and Prosper, if I remember correctly.
I never got that far in Voyager.
That's a pretty good episode.
Wow, then, I don't remember that episode at all.
And then the other one is a follow-up episode. Early in the show, they go to this planet and they get duplicated.
One I remember.
There's this goop that duplicates them, and you know, you think it's just a one-off episode, and they escape the planet. And then later, they have this episode that, spoiler alert, that you presume it's the crew, and everything seems to, you know, like, but suddenly this disease starts. I think it's a disease or something starts happening to crew members one by one, and they start dropping like flies. And then, you know, eventually you realize that these are the duplicated people from that planet who have forgotten that they're duplicates and have even made themselves their own Voyager and are sailing through the stars. But the further they get from their home planet, the more they dissolve.
I feel like Stargate SG-1 had a whole thing where they had it was more of a meta commentary, right? Where they have I think they're doing a show inside the show that's about the characters. Like, it's like based on real adventures of the people. Yeah. But it's but it's like a TV show that's being filmed, like a crappy sci-fi TV show.
Not like Legends. I mean,
no.
I did like the meta joke that they made.
Yes.
We can change reality with a
TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary, I like that Gary is just permanently
an alien. Because you can't make an evil version of Gary, really. Like, they tried that already and it didn't really work.
Yeah.
And he's also, they just didn't get the actor that
we That's right. You don't think he's in the suit?
I don't think he's in the suit. I'm sorry. I do not believe that he's in the suit.
No, that's fair. All right. Should we just do a ritual?
Yeah, let's just get it over with.
All right,
yeah.
John. Yeah.
It was a biff. It's super fun. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's not, I don't think it's that deep. I don't think we should spend a lot of time on it, but, it's a wacky fun, and that's what we tune in to this show for. So they anytime they want to provide that, I'm willing to watch.
Guy?
Yeah, I guess it's a biff. I was not thrilled and excited to watch it. Which maybe is what a biff is supposed to mean, but like, they were doing a good job at what they do. They did. It was a good episode of Legends, and I liked it and I laughed. I think it's been a while since I watched Legends, and I'm having a little bit of this is a little dizzying.
Yeah,
I'm like a little dizzy with it, but it's fun.
Yeah,
it's a different vibe, and we didn't get to see the characters that. I know it love, so it's like I'm coming in different, and this is
we came back after hiatus of several weeks, and it's like a different, you know, it's about the follow the bad guys, right? Like that's sometimes a bit of a tall ask.
That said, good episode, well put together. Sarah did a good job of like that murder scene in the park is pretty well done. Like, not the murdering bit, whatever, the her arc, I suppose, was interesting, or at least performed adequately. I like that they are mixing us up yet again, and I like that that's sort of the intent of the show, is to like, well, we're just going to keep, we've got these puzzle pieces, and we're just going to connect them in all different weird Lego set-y ways. Mixed metaphors there, in order to get a weird half season story. And this is cool. You know, it makes sense to me. They're still bringing Bishop along as the antagonist, I guess, because he installed Gideon, who seems to be the big bad now.
Right. But he apparently is dead. So,
yeah.
Or at least we never saw a body, but we heard a gunshot. And they said he was dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
made a point of showing it again. Yeah, they're not going to show the brains exploding, but they did show
that kind of show.
Yeah. So I'm not like, I have to presume right now he's dead, and if they bring it back, I'll be like,
I think if he comes back, which I think is perfectly possible, he'll come back as a different version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, because anything's possible.
This show is that's what we do here.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a biff. Not an enthusiastic, like, man, that was great, I'm going to rewatch it sort of biff. Yeah. But like, I'm like, yeah, good job. You guys did good legending. Yeah.
Right. You legended up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's a biff. And like I said, for all the reasons you guys covered, it's well executed. It's of a piece with this show. I think it is a little tricky to have this be the episode back from hiatus, just because it does feel like it replayed a bunch of the plot. And you know, I guess it serves in that way, right, of reminding everybody, like, here's what you're up against this season. But at the same time, it is alienating to come back in with, like, kind of a jokey episode. So I am looking forward to sort of seeing our characters next week. But everything, you know, it's funny. It's well written. I like a lot of the little in jokes just for people. You know, at this point, everybody who's watching this show is people who've been watching the show for a long time, right? Nobody's watching this show and jumping in week to week and being like, what the? Seven seasons in, you've got your audience. And this show continues to know its audience very well. So I appreciate that aspect of it. But yeah, there's not a lot to delve into here. It's not a particularly deep episode. So I think we covered it.
Yep.
And if anything, I'm more excited now after having spoken to you guys, which often is the case for me. Like, I'll watch something and I'll be, you know, I'll either like it or not. But after I get a chance to, like, talk to you guys about it, it pushes me one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually looking forward to next week.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do here.
That's right.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It's going to be fun to see where it goes. And yeah, we'll get to see our characters back. So, yeah.
Let us jump then and head over to Superhero Sweep for some miscellaneous superhero news. What else is going on?
Did you know what I was referring to?
The
rumor that the CW is
it's up for sale,
looking for a buyer.
Yeah, I had heard that. Well, it is interesting. I mean, just to talk briefly about sort of where the CW is right now. They haven't given up on the Arrowverse, but they do seem to have kind of dialed back. I mean, so... Yeah.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that after. Let's talk about the CW and then talk about the direction.
We've still got Legends on the air, but it seems like they're probably getting close to the end of their run. I would have to... I mean, they've done over 100 episodes. They've done 7 seasons. I feel like, though, the show has a lot of legs, like it's must be tough to come up with new plots every season. And, you know, you could swap a lot of the people out as they've done over the years. And it arguably has more longevity than a lot of the other shows, which is a ridiculous thing to say, given the way this show started. Right. But it also feels like you don't want to overstay your welcome. And I can't imagine this would make it to 10 seasons. Right. Like sometime in the next couple of years, it's going to finish. Which will be sad, but you know, as long as you give it a good ending, I don't have a problem with it. Like, it's a good opportunity to sort of bring back classic characters and stuff like that, and do your, you know, sort of a triumphant victory lap, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I get sadder when things sort of overstay their welcome a little bit. You know, like Arrow kind of got there where it's like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, just that, like, you know, at a certain point, people
starts to feel like a chore.
I don't want
to
say, people feel like they're phoning it in a little bit.
They want to move on.
And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they are. I don't know if the writer team are. But you also, you are under a burden of every word that you've put on the page prior, right? Like you end up in this weird situation where what's her name, Felicity, nuked a town. And Ollie skinned a man alive. And then you're like, well, now what do we do? You know, and it's difficult. You just start burying yourself underneath the weight at a certain point, and it's time to just go and have a fresh new take on stuff. Legends and S.H.I.E.L.D. before it found a cool way to, like, mix stuff up in between and, like, start reusing characters, which we had. Like, what they're doing now seems a very S.H.I.E.L.D.-y kind of thing to do. Oh, robot versions of us? Like, that's 100. That's S.H.I.E.L.D.'s wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's time for... Like, if Legends said that they weren't coming back, I would not be upset at all. I mean, I don't know what we'd talk about on this show. We'd have to find something else.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see a nice wrap-up. I don't want to just have it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Stuff, of course. But other than that, I would say, yeah. I mean, it's been on.
The
seventh season? Is that right?
Eight.
What are we in?
We're in seven.
Is it eight?
We're in seven.
Seven.
I think it's seven, yeah.
Yeah. Flash is eight. That's why I got confused. That Flash is another one. It's like, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there. Can you. I have not read the article. So what's the scoop? The CW is. Sort of being shopped around a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's in a weird position because originally it started as a joint venture between the Warner Brothers and Viacom. And I'm not sure if it's, is it still, I guess it's still open by, still owned by them. Yeah, it's still half owned basically by Viacom and now AT&T, which now owns Warner Media. And I think the question was, I think Viacom specifically was looking at selling its chunk of it. But I don't know what the impact of that would be.
Marvel should buy them just for
just to screw with everybody,
just to make it funny. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be interesting because there are, yeah. So it looks like its co-parents Viacom and Warner Media are considering a controlling stake sale. So I guess basically they would sell, each side would sell the controlling stake, but probably can like keep continue to own a little bit of it. Which and weirdly enough, it looks like one of the like, you know, likely purchasers is a group of CW affiliates, so like the stations. I have no idea what the impetus of that would be, and it does seem like it's interesting to watch. You know, obviously HBO Max, which is also part of Warner Media. Viacom has Paramount Plus. I assume. It seems like HBO is sort of spinning up trying to produce more DC comic stuff because obviously they own that as a big source of IP. And it seems like they want to produce more shows. So I guess the question is you sort of like let them run out the clock on the stuff that's already on the network. Although just to counter that, like you have a couple shows that have started very recently in the DC comics fan. You've got Superman and Lois. That's like a marquee character, right? You got Superman and you just started a show with him. You know, it's only in its second season. And then they just this week debuted Naomi, which I haven't seen, but is another DC Comics inspired show that's backed by Ava DuVernay, who is a big name. Feels like, you know, if you're putting these kind of shows on your CW network and not, you know, on HBO Max or something like that, your moves are still kind of fractured, it seems like.
I was surprised when you said that the affiliates are thinking it like, well, how do they have money? What it's 2022.
Yeah. Where, who's watching network like, television?
Yeah. I'm like, well, that's weird that they're investing in that. I guess it makes sense. You want to keep your business open, but like, I don't know. I'd be trying to exit rather than pooling my money together to like,
I guess buy it's up, just, it seems like
vampire, so they... like teen vampire shows and whatever, you know?
Yeah,
teen sexy vampires and teen sexy superhero shows, effectively, right? That's the history of CW. Bunch of vampires and a bunch of superheroes, effectively.
Yeah. And we haven't done that crossover yet, which seems surprising.
Man, we had it right there with Supernatural. Like, we could have done it. But, yeah.
Apparently, so it's Nexstar Media Group, which is the largest television station owner in the United States, owning 197 stations. All of which are affiliates.
Isn't it Clear Channel?
Networks.
Oh, is Clear Channel Radio? Am I being
Clear Channel is radio, and these guys bought Tribune Media, which was another one of the big ones.
As in Chicago Tribune? Like what?
I don't think so.
I'm blanking on that because that's it, like older school media conglomerate type stuff, right? Like seems like Tribune Media from like the '90s kind of thing.
I'm thinking. Own a bunch of Chicago area stuff, including WGN.
Yeah.
And they did own the Chicago Tribune, but that got spun off into a publishing. There you go. What people tune in for corporate hierarchies.
Yeah. Everybody, you know what? What's really weird is that our highest downloaded episode ever is the one where we discussed the Queen Consolidated Finances, and we're still chasing that dragon. We're still trying to get those numbers. Yeah, we're still trying to get the numbers up there. Yeah, definitely. People want to hear about a bunch of beautiful people fighting, and now they've got
now they learn
who currently owns a Chicago Tribune.
Now they learned something. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So. I don't want to sound like Michael Dell here, but at some point I'd, you know, wind it down and give the money back to the shareholders. what do you think the plan is for CW?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense for them to not use, basically make all the money they can, which in this case means if you've got shows that are profitable and that people are watching, you're not going to axe those shows, right? You're going
to
actually.
No, but you need to run a whole network, not just the shows that are making money.
True, absolutely. But that might mean developing new shows. It might be moving to more unscripted or other fare that is cheaper to produce and easier to spin up or cancel if you need to, right? Like production, yeah. The costs of doing a show like any of these superhero shows are, you know, they're cheaper than a Marvel show, but they're still probably more expensive. You got to pay all the people. You got to do production costs for special effects and sets and writing staff and everybody else who works on the show.
Big fake arms.
I was just about to say somebody
they're not cheap people.
Somebody wrote a check with a memo note being giant fake arms.
All I'm saying is if you had, you know, if they were cheap, everybody would have big fake arms.
That's true.
Think about it.
Why wouldn't I? I mean, I would have.
I know. That's exactly what I'm basing this on.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody buy a T-shirt so that John
buy some big fake arms.
John can bid on those fake arms when they go up for sale. Yeah.
Fakely swole.
Yeah. I guess so. So, just more of the same. Like the vampire to superhero thing worked and made sense, right? I think they ran out of enough vampire-y spinoffs, and then Arrow had come up, and then they get the Flash, and then that sort of snowballed a little bit. There doesn't seem to be anything on the horizon that is sort of the next stage of CW-ness, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, like, what's the next big teeny drama thing? And can network TV even capture teens anymore?
It seems like...
I don't think that's their audience. It's going to go downhill.
Audience is shrinking like crazy.
Yeah. What do you mean that you don't think that? I mean, certainly the Flash and all that. If you watch them, they are not for. They're not for grown-ups. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a bad way. Obviously,
what we're watching and talk about.
Yeah. I'm in my late 40s at this point, and you watch it and you're like, this is silly and it's not for me. But I also don't know if it's for kids, like for teenagers to 20, let's say, you know, like late teens, early to mid-20s.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. But, you know, it's obviously there's a variety of places where people can get their entertainment, right? Like there's so much stuff on streaming these days. But at the same time, a lot of those are also fed by catalog material. And so, you know, having existing shows that you can sort of pick up and drop down there, like, I don't think there's anything to say about the quality of the shows themselves that, like, wouldn't appeal to a teenager or 20-something or whatever.
I don't necessarily mean that. I just mean, for the CW, is it making sense, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always been their icon. You know, it's sort of their like you said, their brand. And so... it seems to be working for them. Is there an argument that they could be doing something else? I guess, but I it's a lot more work to change that in trying to reinvent yourself.
Well, I guess one method of doing so would be to sort of abandon the terrestrial television and stuff and become a content producer for Netflix or whoever, you know, probably HBO Max.
Well, I mean, probably
like you're a company that makes just the shows that make money, and then you... license them or sell them to CW. Well, I don't mean be your own streaming service. I mean, like, just do production company stuff and then sell the shows to other people. Because I'm sure Netflix would drop some money on you. Apple, I don't know, they're weird.
They're not weird,
but Apple's not going to buy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Apple's happy to buy good quality shows, but like that does not... Apple branding on Legends or the Flash or anything, it's not going to work out. That's just not going to fly.
Right. Yeah. Like we said, this, you know, Legends ending its run, but you do have Superman Lois, you've got Naomi, you've got Batwoman, and you've got the Flash. So, you know, there's still a broad amount of DC Universe stuff happening on the CW for the moment. And no imminent sign of those shows being wound down at this point, although I mean you could wind down the Flash. I don't think anybody would know. It still seems to be doing I tell you what, it's still one of their highest rated shows. So
is it really?
God, yeah, God, you know what, you know what, I think the highest rated show on that network is right now
Supernatural.
No, it's not it was up there for a while, but I believe I was just reading about this and I was fascinated So the top, this is the ratings from fall CW, the fall 2021, according to the CW and TVLine.com, which is the site I keep track of. But there's a show called All American, which is a football related show, I believe, like a high school football plot. Like
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, sort of. And that is their top rated show with 1.18 million viewers, but a bigger, I think it looks like more people watch it, sometime in the first week, right? Like streamed or whatever. Second after that is Walker.
With the Supernatural guy.
With Jared Padalecki.
CW is just turning into the Jared Padalecki channel.
And apparently is big enough that it draws a larger audience than one series on broadcast, which is some Fox series that I've never heard of, which is why. And then number three is The Flash. Wow. Which is doing about 1.18 million, followed by Stargirl, followed by Legends of Tomorrow.
Stargirl's better than The Flash.
Well, I had thought, it's definitely better than The Flash. Yeah. I forgot that Stargirl had moved.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that probably helped it a bit. It got more. Yeah. So if Stargirl's doing, it's only doing 885,000 viewers, which is not a lot.
Is this per week?
Total viewers.
It's per,
I don't
per
know.
Episode. It's per episode.
I assume per episode. Yeah.
I'm kind of impressed that Flash is getting a million.
Yeah, I mean it has been in the past one of their top rated shows.
Yeah. I mean it's not like the old days of like when you had three networks and you'd get like 30 million people watching Matlock or whatever the heck it was, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But it is impressive also that Legends
I don't know why I picked Matlock instead of like the moon landing or something important.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and Matlock landed on the moon. Great episode. Legends is number five, which is the impressive part, and apparently went up from season six to season seven, which is, great for them. I am very pleased with them that they do that well. Sure. So I mean,
it's a better show than The Flash. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, and they're putting up numbers that are a significant percentage of what the top rated shows on the network are doing. Right. So, that says something. You got to go way down to get there are some other shows in there. John, you were the one where, no, it was Lex who was watching the 4400 reboot. That's way down at number eight.
Yeah.
And Batwoman's way down at 10.
Which he said was terrible.
He said it was terrible, yes.
Wait. What's 4400? Is it like survivors on a planet?
No, it was an alien abduction thing where they it was on, I want to say the original was on TNT or something.
Am I thinking of The 100? Was that a CW show?
Yes, that was also a CW show.
Yeah, well, it's teen angst in sci-fi-ish setting.
Big time teen angst.
Yeah. And which I think might have also been a reboot. I don't remember. Even Riverdale is way down there. And that's a show I heard people talk about for a long time. But that's way down there at 11.
I'm surprised that Riverdale's that far down because I would have thought that maybe that was up at the top or close to the top.
No, it doesn't look like it. Guess way not. Down there. Anyway, there's, it's doing, everything seems to be doing well for them, I guess is the point, right? Like they have, so you're not going to cut off shows that are still performing. I don't think that, you're going to keep them running as long as the people are interested in doing them and as long as they're making money for you. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Well,
along those lines, I have not watched Naomi, although my wife expressed some interest in it. So I'll probably look at the pilot at least. I did watch the season premiere of Superman and Lois, which I continue to enjoy.
I didn't know that was out.
It just came out 2 days ago.
I still have not finished the first season.
Oh, the first season's pretty good.
I know, and I mostly enjoyed it. But for some reason, I don't know, it's a show that I don't look forward to watching. And when I watch it, I usually think, that was pretty good. But I don't, I obviously do not rush to the iPad to watch that show.
Reasonable. Yeah. Other than that, we're
Did we talk about it? Did we ever do a bit on Superman and Lois? I think we did because I kept calling her Louise or something. I remembered embarrassing. I mistyped her.
We did Louise and
that's right.
Yeah,
Louise and
different. We did the knockoff.
Yeah, like the Revengers Endless Game or whatever.
And
the knockoff version of it. Yeah. That was it, Superman and Louis. Yeah, because I wrote it on our stupid Twitter account. I felt bad.
Other than, we'll be obviously following the rest of the Legend series, but there's nothing else right now that's really I think, out for us. We mentioned discussing Eternals at some point, but I haven't finished watching it yet.
So we can
talk about next that week. Next week.
Next week we'll do Eternals, because we do have, I think it's only Legends next week, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, we don't have anything else.
Yeah, we don't have anything for a while, right?
For a while, so...
going to be shorter episodes, people.
Well, so we ask you every week, but like for reals, write in, please. Come on, help us out.
Yeah.
Give us something to go on. Go nuts. Ask us to, I don't know, ask us what our favorite superpower is. Which is a boring question. Yeah. Do better than that, but whatever.
we answered that one at one point.
Before. Probably. Yeah.
We'll answer it again. Maybe whatever. Our opinions have changed.
Yeah. We'll have some fun. Or if you want to hear about a show or a movie that we've all watched, but we haven't actually covered, let us know and we can do that.
I am going through the previous Spider-Man movies, not the Italian one, not the Japanese and not the Japanese one either.
It's me, Spider-Man.
But I am on Spider-Man 3 right now, and I think I'm gonna try and force my way through Amazing Spider-Man 2 this time.
Maybe I'll join you. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah. Although that's what?
It's a lot.
It's like 12 hours. It's like 11 hours, 45 minutes or something.
Other than the
maybe I'll join you, says Guy. Although, wait, those movies are bad.
I've seen them all, so I'm not paying super close attention.
Right.
So many Spider-Men.
There are
As I said on the Incomparable episode, which you can probably listen to in the next week or so, I buried 14 Spider-Men.
Mm-hmm. I saw some, I didn't read the article, but something indicating that they had approached Ben Affleck to appear in a cameo in Spider-Man as Daredevil.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
sometimes I you know, like a lot of times I don't care, and B, a lot of times those reports are pretty sketchy, so
yeah,
it's like it was CBR, but they're usually fine, they're usually
okay, but sometimes they make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I did see,
that's why I didn't open it.
Somebody was referencing it, and I did see this, I think this was it was almost a year old. That was the thing that got me with the article. Somebody had mentioned something, and I googled it and found an article that was like almost exactly from like January 2021, but it was Kevin Feige saying that they're gonna shoot Deadpool 3 this year, and it seemed like legit, basically. So that remains interesting to me, just because I am fascinated to see how they work that into the MCU. Granted, with Deadpool, it's
you
can do whatever you want, because it's so weird and so meta that I feel like, just let it be its own thing. It's totally
and,
fine.
I mean, and now that they have the multiverse,
they've got the multiverse. Like, exactly.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Right. The thing I think is particularly sketchy about this Ben Affleck thing, though, is that it doesn't make any sense for him to appear in that movie. Like Matt appears in our universe, you know, in the the one that we know. He just, like, we don't see multiple Daredevils.
There's not like Daredevils from everywhere.
There's no excuse to have another Daredevil.
No, that it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. I agree. Yeah. Like,
wow. Do you know how little sense it made? Is that I did not parse that correctly. I thought you meant that they'd asked that they'd wanted Affleck to appear in like a Tobey Maguire or like whatever, some like one of the older ones. And I thought it was just like gratuitous. Like, let's get him back to do it. I did not realize that you meant actually show up.
Yeah.
In the Spider-Verse. That is way over the top. I don't believe that for a second. I believe every idea was on the table, because once you start going like, hey, let's just do multiverse stuff, people are going to say anything. Yeah. And be like, hey, call up Ben Affleck and see if he wants to be in the movie. You'll figure something to do with Ben Affleck.
Right, exactly. You. Like, I mean, we got him to agree.
Even if he shows up being Bruce Wayne. He's just...
Don't think they can do that, but...
Well... No, but they can put Ben Affleck in a suit and make him look intense with a black sports car or something, you know? Like, you could do a joke.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. Anything else to...
So, like we started saying, next week we're going to cover The Eternals. It just came out yesterday on HBO Max.
Nope. Disney where you Plus, guys are? My friend.
Not even close.
Whatever, who cares? One of those.
You know, the company
Disney,
that owns all
Disney
of this.
Yeah, okay.
Disney
okay,
cares quite
okay,
a lot, actually.
Okay. I forgot that we're pivoted into corporate malfeasance podcast or whatever.
That's right.
Corporate structure podcast.
We don't want to get cease and desist.
Jeez, guy. Yeah, all I'm saying is you've been doing this for a living, this superhero podcasting for a living. I assume that's what you do for a living for the last several years.
We honestly don't know what you do for a living.
Neither does my boss. It's a very George Costanza thing going on here.
Your total computers would indicate that it's not something technical.
Ow. Jeez. Well, I was going to say next week we're going to watch The Eternals or discuss The Eternals, so go do your homework. But I think I'm done with you two. I think that's it.
Oh, okay. That's it. That's the last episode.
After that, it's been enough.
Well, we had a good run.
Let's sign off.
So I don't know if anybody's watched it on Disney Plus. Disney Plus Max, but it came out yesterday, and broadly, I think it's interesting and worth taking a chunk of the show to discuss. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
I've only seen an hour.
Yeah. Dan's only seen an hour of it, so like,
Did you like that hour?
I was interested. I don't know. I'm interested to see the rest of this because I feel like it.
I don't want
to
give away my rating.
We'll talk. No, I'm interested to talk. I'm interested to finish it and to talk to you guys about it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So I think it's worthwhile for any readers out there to just, spend an hour or two late at night or break it up. To be honest, I don't think you need to watch that.
I think I did that. Maybe, I don't know. We'll talk about it next week. I'm not submitting to your reign of terror.
Wow. We really got off on the wrong foot today, man. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm gonna wrap this up
you can't have dessert before dinner.
We'll be back next week to discuss, of course, the next episode of Legends Tomorrow, which is entitled Lowest Common Denominator, and then we'll talk, as we mentioned, about Eternals. But of course, I would like to thank my co-host, as always, John Maltz. Thanks for being here.
I'm gonna go lift some weights.
Guy English, always a pleasure.
I'm gonna go lift weights with one arm. One arm only.
And thank you everybody out there for reading the transcripts. We appreciate your support as the BIFF community. We're always around. You can hit us up at biff@theincomparable.com or at BIFFcast on Twitter. We love to talk to you guys and we love to hear your letters and your thoughts and buy a shirt. We love to sell you shirts.
BIFFcast on Cotton Bureau.
Yeah, BIFFcast@cottonbureau.com. And thanks for listening.
To the reader who let us know that the good guys in S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1 just walked in and murdered a few government people. That really did crack me up.
I'm not sure that those, I joked to you guys, I'm pretty sure those were bad people that they killed. I don't think they were just like scientists. They killed scientists. Lots of people in that show.
Because, eventually they get the exuso-meter guns, right? Like the phasers on stun is what they get. The night guns. Yeah. Anyway,
thank you everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next week.